Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
All right, so we have been speaking about cadre deployment, because that is a subject that the DA has certainly taken on, and we wanted to find out a little bit more, because it's become a thing now, right? So it was taken on initially by the DA, only to be made into law. And what does that mean? That is the question that we wanted to understand. What the practical side of it, can we trust it, and where to from here? Natasha Mazzoni, who's the DA member of Parliament. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So it must be quite gratifying in some way when the ANC actually adopts DA policy.
Well, absolutely, and all hats off to my colleague, Leon Schreiber, who has worked relentlessly at this particular issue. He started out getting the minutes of the Decade Deployment Committee and finding out exactly what went on in those meetings and what was happening and the denials that were made originally. He then handed those particular letters up to a court, and the ruling came back down that cadre deployment simply is not a viable option in our economy, and given the state of our economy and given the state of flux that our economy is in, there's no way that it's, cadre deployment could be allowed. I myself handled state capture, and we know that cadre deployment was the very reason that state capture took place, because what happened was there was a revolving door system. So a cadre would be deployed from one entity to the next entity, and they were able to loot each entity but leave just before they were caught. So my colleague, Leon Schreiber, worked literally 16 hours a day, every day, until he managed to get this particular piece of legislation in place that now actually doesn't allow cadre deployment to form part of the business structure of South Africa, and certainly outlaw cadre deployment. So in other words, there won't be a cadre deployment committee in the ANC anymore, and it's no more jobs for polls from the ANC.
So what was the actual what was the policy?
Well, the policy was that the ANC had a cadre deployment committee. The cadre deployment committee was headed by the head of government business. So for the 9 wasted years, as Cyril Ramaphosa calls it himself, it was headed by Cyril Ramaphosa. And what they would do is they would be given names of cadres that were to be deployed to certain entities. And then this committee would then sit down and decide where to deploy these cadres. It was also a system of reward for any work that had been done during the liberation movement, and especially to children of liberation heroes who were no longer with us would be put on that list. So what it meant was if you, for example, were highly, highly qualified for a job, but a cadre's name came up who was less qualified than you, the cadre would then get the job and not you, because of the cadre deployment policy that the ANC had adopted. So the best person, the fitful person, let's put it that way, was not getting the job. The cadre was getting the job instead. And Leon managed to get, Dr. Leon Schreiber, managed to get his hands on minutes of various cadre deployment meetings. And he was able to prove that this was a completely corrupt and corruptible system. And being the bulldog that he is, he went after it. And thankfully, I think South Africa owes a massive debt of gratitude to him. He's managed to ensure that we don't have that cadre deployment policy anymore.
If you look at it, I mean, if you zoom out a little bit, it's hardly a wonder that we're in a mess that we're in, given this policy, because there's just absolutely no chance of being successful in any of our state departments or areas if this is the policy, or this has been the policy.
Absolutely. So absolutely correct. You know, let's just take this past weekend. We the whole country held a collective breath as we prayed that nothing went wrong in Kansas, for example. And that is because the State Intelligence Agency and the State Security Agency, for that matter, has been destroyed due to infighting and cadre deployment within that organization. And, you know, each state security apparatus working in a silo, no one talking to each other. So, of course, a threat of terrorism would come to the country and we would have an alert given by a foreign mission to South Africa, because where else were they supposed to warn?
Well, absolutely. I wanted to ask you this. I don't understand the reaction and the frustration with the Americans. If they provided this information to the South African government, who chose to not take it that seriously and not inform its citizens, well, then the Americans had little choice, surely, but to make the announcement themselves to protect their own.
Absolutely. In fact, I think, once again, South Africa owes a huge debt of gratitude to America because they obviously foiled the plans of these terrorists. What the terrorist attacks were and who were trying to perpetrate them obviously were a secret, but the fact of the matter is these terrorists know that they were caught out. As I said in the statement, what we did is we caught the State Security Agency napping. Because the South African State Security said, well, you know, we'll investigate these allegations and see if, there's anything to worry about. Well, I think for a country the size of America, the leaders of the free world, unprecedentedly put on their website a terrorist threat alert, which wasn't just to their citizens, because anyone can access the American Embassy website. Mm. I think goes to show just how serious they were about it, because communique would normally go directly to American citizens. So it is unprecedented, and we know this to be a fact, that a communique would be put on their website. So that you're absolutely right when you say it's very hard to understand the frustration of the South African government. And it also goes to show just exactly what happens when an entity breaks down. We're on a Thursday, we had a questions and answer session in Parliament. And I asked Minister Mondli Gugubele, who is the minister in charge of state security in the presidency, because we don't have a minister of state security anymore.
Right.
It now falls under the office of the presidency. And then one of the ministers in the office of the presidency looks after it, and at the moment only Gugubele. And I said to him, I said, Minister, you know, this question's been asked to you about, you know, what are you going to do to put the apparatus together? I said, the question must be, it's in a complete shambles, and each entity is working in a different silo. And actually, we know for a fact that SAPS is fighting state security, is fighting intelligence, that the heads of these organizations have been fighting each other. I mean, we have the likes of Arthur Fraser, God help us.
Absolutely.
Who is now sending information into saying, this is not confirmation, I'm simply pointing you in the right direction, into the Palapala investigation, for example. And the minister said to me, he said, we have to face the fact we're going to have to rebuild from the ground up. And that's a very scary thought. So when you know that your state security apparatus is in the state of flux and in the state of chaos that ours is, you certainly don't attack a foreign mission in your country. You thank that foreign mission and you ask for help going forward while you rebuild an apparatus that has completely collapsed thanks to cadre deployment.
So what's very scary about this is if the Americans, were given hell over this, that they might be a little bit more hesitant next time to warn us, which actually makes us a little bit more vulnerable.
Well, this is exactly the thing. I think every embassy now will be a little more hesitant to put something on their website. My hope is, though, that an international community will be less worried about diplomacy and more worried about safety, especially of a country that has so many of their expat citizens living in it.
Mm.
And quite frankly, America's never been known to back down. And the European Union countries are certainly taking the security of their expat citizens into account yet too. So my hope is that they themselves realize that our state security agency is in a complete state of shambles, and that for the good of South Africa and for the good of their own citizens who are not in their country of origin but in a foreign country, they will still be keeping us alert, and they won't let this ridiculous
reaction. This hysterical foot stamping.
Storm in a teacup. It won't allow them to affect giving us information. And I think that if more South Africans showed maybe a little bit of gratitude, I don't think an email to the embassies would go amiss. I certainly wrote an email of thanks. And I think that people should know that they're completely able to contact all foreign missions on their website. And, maybe that's how we let the foreign missions know that we're incredibly grateful.
Yep.
And I always say I'm incredibly proud to be South African. I'm just rather ashamed of actions that our government takes.
Absolutely right, Natasha Mazzoni. Thank you. DA Member of Parliament.